Blog Talk Radio.
My headache is back again. So
I don't know. But would you like to open up in prayer this evening?
Sure. Gracious and eternal Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we come before you right now, Lord, just to say thank you. Thank you for keeping us throughout this day, Father God. Thank you for your holy presence being with us throughout the day. Lord God, we now pray and ask that you first forgive us of any and all sins that we may have committed from the previous time that we spoke to you up until now. Anything, Lord, that we did that may have been knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight, we ask for forgiveness. Now, Father, we pray that you continue to bless us throughout this evening, O Lord God, as we go forth, O Father God, just yet worshiping you and giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory that's rightfully due you. We pray, Father God, that everything that we do be done according to your will and that it's done decently and in order, O Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you bless the owner, the CEO, Rich Money, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue to strengthen him and give him what he stands in need of. Bless our host, O Father God, Lavina Polite, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, you know what she stands in, all that she stands in need of. Right now, Father God, we pray that you just bring some healing to her, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that she can just have a restful time, a peaceful time, oh, Father God, free of any headaches or anything, oh, Lord, aches or any kind of aches or body pains or whatever it may be, Lord God, that would hinder her from enjoying you at this time. And we pray that you just continue to encourage her, Father God, as she goes forth, oh, Father God, endeavoring to do your will. Bless all those that are associated with GQ Palace, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you continue to bless Minister Cheryl Miller, oh, Father God, in her ministry, oh, Lord God. Continue to strengthen her and encourage her heart as well. And, Father God, bless all of the listeners, those that are tuning in, oh, Father God, those that may actively participate and those that may just listen in, oh, Father God. We pray that they are blessed by the ministry here of Spiritual Sunday, oh, Lord God, and that all things be done to your honor and your glory. And, Father God, we just truly love and adore you on this day. We ask that you count this prayer done by faith. But before I go any further, Father God, we also ask that you bless all the fathers, oh, Father God, those that are fathers of children, Father God, be they natural or unnatural, Father God. Whatever capacity that someone is standing in the gap as a father, we ask that you bless them on this day. As we give this prayer to you this day, Father God, I humbly submit it to you in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With a humble submission, I make this prayer to your glory and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. So how has everyone been?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Amen, me too. Amen.
I just want to just say, of course, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. You know, happy Mother's Day and Father's Day to the mothers, that's both the mother and the father. You know, and anyone that is, you know, definitely stepping up to the plate and just being a role model, you know, for, you know, our children, you know, everyone's children, just stepping up and, you know, just definitely doing their part. You know, I just want to say definitely happy Father's Day to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, of course, I've been stressed. You know, my job has been very stressful lately. And I know there's a different job coming. You know, I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping, you know, I'm getting tired and starting to wear on my body, I think. And I think that, you know, it's starting to become more physical for me. So I find myself, you know, praying for strength a lot when it comes down to this job and, you know, being physical. And, you know, I definitely, you know, I've been praying more and more and more. You know, definitely, you know, with the job and just, you know, with my own personal, you know, life and, you know, body's tired, got a bad headache, you know. But I think the headache is just like a stress headache, you know, the nurse was telling me, oh, no, it's probably not stress. You know, it's probably, you know, the allergies. I'm like, I'm 35 years old. I don't have allergies. You know, I've never had them. I don't think that's what I have. But I say stress. You know, just stressed out a little bit. But what we're going to do this evening is I figured that we would do, you know, of course, you know, Happy Father's Day to the fathers. But I figured he would ask, you know, what does Father's Day mean, you know, to, you know, what does it mean to you? You know, what is a memory that you have, you know, with your father, and helpful tips or words of encouragement that you can give someone else that could help them with their parenting, you know, that can definitely elevate them to the next level to make them a better, you know, parent. So, and of course, you know, I came up with that, you know, because today is Father's Day, and a lot of the fathers, you know, that I did reach out to, you know, that are leaders, spiritual leaders, you know, had services at church, and, you know, I had one person confirm, and then he called back and said he couldn't do it, and I was like, oh, he's like, it's Father's Day. I'm like, yeah, I know, you know, but I guess maybe he didn't realize it. I don't know. So I figured we can be, you know, like, call in, give your testimony, say what you're thankful for, you know, as well as, you know, just share a memory that you have, you know, a fond memory that you have with your father, you know, as well as, you know, what words of encouragement can you give someone else that could possibly, you know, help them. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go to a call, and then we're going to come back and start taking our calls, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand this place your heart is in. You just want to dream again and believe.
Yeah. Remember what you prayed for.
Remember what you prayed for.
Yes.
Hold on.
Don't give up.
Over.
But here's the good news. Listen.
All of your
Say ah, yes,
are
yes.
coming to pass.
Whoa, whoa.
Weathersby, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I was going to defer to Minister Cheryl first.
Yeah, I think her phone dropped. Minister Miller, you there?
Yes, I didn't even hear anything that Sister Martha was saying. I apologize. I just called back.
It's okay.
Oh.
It's okay. So we'll go to Minister Weber C first.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we just wanted just to encourage Sister Martha to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands. And, you know, as he leads and guides and directs you, just be obedient unto his will.
Amen. And I'm just going to say, you know, Martha, just, you know, definitely just stay, you know, stay encouraged, you know, stay positive, and just continue to, you know, work on you, you know, continue to just work on you and, you know, focus on the self-evaluation, you know, that we all need to do for ourselves, you know, just focus on that.
Amen.
Well, I'll go first because we had said, I had said that we should, you know, share our testimonies and what we're thankful for, you know, as well as, you know, if you have a memory, you know, with your father that you wanted to share or words of encouragement. And I'm going to share a little story. So my dad passed in 2001, and when he passed away in 2001, I was very young, you know. I wasn't young, but I was young. And when he left from my mom's house, I was extremely young. But my memories that I have with him when we were all living together was, I was daddy's little girl. Like, he, you know, he had other children, he has other children, but I was the one that was, like, always with him all the time. And one of my memories that I remember when he was alive was I had got a phone call back in 2001 in January, and the phone call was saying that he was extremely sick, you know, when he was going to pass away. And he wanted, his last wish was to see his children, okay? My oldest brother, he had drowned when we were younger. My brother Jeremy, he was in jail at the time. So me and my sister and my 20-year-old now, we rented a car and we drove down to South Carolina. And it was something that was in me that was just saying, okay, well, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. Because I never really forgave him for leaving us, because I was always the person that went with him on the car rides and stuff. You know, that was us. And when my mom and my dad separated, when they got separation, it was hard for me. You know, when you're young, you don't really understand the fact that there's a separation. You know, you just know that daddy's not there anymore. So I knew that. You know, I knew that daddy wasn't there anymore. Then, you know, after a couple months, I knew that mom had a new boyfriend. But I knew it wasn't my dad. So, long story short, we went to the car, we went down there, and what I tell you, looking at him, I didn't really feel anything. You know, I seen him laying in the hospital bed and, you know, on the stretcher, because they had a stretcher inside the house. He had been sick for a long time, and we never knew anything about it. Well, I never knew anything about it. I don't know about anyone else, but I know that I didn't know that he was sick. And, like, I would send him, like, two pictures of my oldest daughter, and it just seemed a little weird to me that I could walk into this house and I'm happy that I'm there and I get to see, like, my aunts and uncles and everything. But I didn't feel anything in my heart. Like, I didn't feel the, oh my God, I'm here, or oh my God, he's dying. You know, I didn't feel that. And I never really understood why I didn't feel it. So after I walked into the house and I seen him, I didn't feel anything. And my sister came in, she's crying, you know, she's always emotional, she's the emotional one, she's always crying, and she was crying, and he gave her a hug, and then I leaned over and I gave him a hug, and he lifts up off the bed, you know how you hug someone and they lift up a little bit to hug you back, He lifted up and he hugged me back and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. I just felt the shake. I just felt the shake. I still didn't feel like sad or anything. I just felt the shake that just went through my body. Long story short, we spent the night there, and then the next day we got up to come back to New York because we was in South Carolina. We're on our way back to New York. My aunt calls me and says that my dad had passed away. So that then I felt I should have asked him all the questions that I had in my head because I never really forgave him for believing. You know, I didn't forgive him. I felt like he should have took me with him since I was the favorite in my mind, you know. So long story short, as he passed, we buried him and everything. I brought a plant back to New York with me. And I named the plant Bebop because that was my dad's nickname. I named him Bebop. And I kept this plant for, I want to say, this is 2013 now. The plant died 2 years ago. No, actually, the plant died about 3-4 years ago. Ever since now, mind you, I used to talk to the plant. I named the plant and everything. When I was doing good in my life, you know, where everything was working out, the plant seemed to bloom. When I was doing bad or just like down and out and just not doing my 100%, it seemed like the plant would like droop. The leaves would just droop down. So I say all this because my plant died. And my plant died, and ever since my plant died, I've been getting emotional. Like, now I'm starting to realize that, okay, I have to forgive him for leaving me. He's already passed on. I can't ask him any questions. When I had the opportunity, I didn't take the opportunity to ask him all the questions that I had in my head. So, each year, on Father's Day, for the last 3-4 years, I've been crying. And my favorite song was Luther Vandross' Dance with My Father. That was my favorite song that Luther Vandross did because I felt like I had a connection, you know, with that song. So, of course, I work today. It's my weekend to work. And as I'm driving in the car this morning, I put on my Luther Vandross CD. What song comes on first? Dance with My Father. So, I'm driving to work, 6:30 in the morning, crying. Just crying and crying and crying. I couldn't really figure out why I was crying. So I couldn't just grasp it today. Like, you know what, all right, today's Father's Day, you know, my dad passed, you know, I miss him, and I should have asked him all those questions. So today I'm feeling like, you know what, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, but I feel like I should have asked my dad questions when I had the chance to, and I didn't. So because I didn't, I feel like every year on Father's Day, it just seems like, oh, if a situation happens and it involves the father, I think of mine. But the only memories I have of him is the memories when I was a little girl. Like, I don't have any teenage memories or nothing like that. From the time, I want to say I was like 11, maybe, he was gone. So I don't have any memories like that. So the last memory that I felt that, you know, I was going to share was the fact that when I went down south to see him before he passed away, that I felt him lift up and give me a hug, you know, and kiss me on my cheek. And I'm thinking now that maybe that should have been my closure because he couldn't talk. So even if I would have asked some questions, he wouldn't have been able to answer because, you know, he wasn't able to talk. So I'm thinking maybe that was my closure. I just haven't accepted it yet. Or maybe I'm just trying to hold on and look for answers that I'm never going to get. That makes sense. That was my memory, you know. As far as words of encouragement that I would give is just make peace, you know. Make peace with your father if you can. Make peace with everyone, but especially like today is Father's Day. Make peace with someone and don't hold on to something because God forbid if someone does die, you're not able to ask them those questions, so you don't get the closure. So I would just say make peace and just forgive. Forgive for whatever it is that was done and you know, I'm saying it, but I'm still saying to myself that I'm working on forgiving him because I still felt something in me that he should have took me with him. So that's my my Father's Day memory. You know, of course I'm gonna say Happy Father's Day to, you know, my handsome husband, Rich Money. You know, love him to pieces. You know, he's a wonderful father, and that's one thing that, you know, as we started dating, that just took my heart is the fact that he's such a good father. You know, just a good father no matter what. You know, no matter what obstacle is there, he's still able to pick up the pieces and make a smile on the kid's face and just make them feel that love. And with him showing that love and I'm witnessing it, it just makes me think of my dad even more. So, Happy Father's Day, Rich Money. And, of course, Happy Father's Day to my mom, you know, because she was definitely there being the mom and the dad. Certain things she couldn't teach me, but, you know, I'm thankful that she was able to, you know, like, pick up the pieces and teach me all that she could. So that's my you know. So, of course, I can go and I can ask for Libra's words of encouragement for myself today. Minister Miller, Minister Weathersby.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Minister Miller.
Yes, sir. I can say that I didn't grow up with my father. I'm grateful that I do know who my dad is. Actually, I did call him today to wish him a happy Father's Day. He wasn't present in my life, all my life. And to be quite honest, growing up, before I knew who God was, I was really upset. And angry with him because he got married and he had another family. But I'm grateful that when I did accept God into my heart and sincerely got saved, I thank God because he filled that void in my life where I needed a father. I could lean and depend on God, and he gave me strength to be able to stay focused, especially when I got saved at a young age. He was there for me, and he was my strength, and he was my guiding light, and he still is today. So I'm grateful. I had to ask God to help me to forgive my father as well, to forget about him not being there, to forget about him not wanting to take time with me. There were times when I felt as though he only came around when it was convenient for him, which was true. But I say all of this to say that I respect him for the man that he is, and I still love him because it was God's will for him to be my father. So I don't have anything negative or critical to say, but to say that I still love my dad, and I still thank God that I know him. But there are so many people who don't have a father. There are so many people who don't know who their dad is. But I'm grateful that God still allowed me to get to know who he is. I might not have the relationship that I think that I should have with him, but I am appreciative of the fact that I do know him. I know what he looks like. And I am able to pick up the phone and call him. I can say that when moving to Georgia, he started to call a little bit more. I'm from Delaware, and that's where all of my family's from. And when I made the step to move to Georgia, he did start to call more. And I am grateful for the fact, I thank God, that he thought enough of me to start calling me more on a regular basis. But I'm grateful for the men of God that have been placed in my life. I'm grateful for my uncles on my mother's side, and the people You know, God gives you what you need, especially when you desire to do His will. He will put strong men of God in your life to help you. I'm grateful for my spiritual father, who is my pastor, as well as I have a lot of wonderful mentors who are great men of God, who have took me under their wing and who have helped me be the young woman that I am in God. So I give God thanks and I rejoice, because I know that everything works together for our good, even though we may not understand. Even though the human part of me wishes that I had was able to spend more time with my biological father. Of course, a little girl growing up, and even as a teenager, and even as a young adult, we want our daddies, we want our fathers in our lives. But I'm just so grateful that for the men of God that stood in the gap for me, as well as our Heavenly Father, who promised in His Word that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said in His Word that when our mother and father forsake us, and it is He who would take care of us, it is He who would take us up. And He's told us in His Word for us to cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. So I just encourage the adults and the young people who might maybe have never had a father in their life, or maybe their father left them, or maybe their father even have been abusive. I just want to encourage someone out there and let you know that you're not forgotten, that God loves you. And even though your biological father may not be around, maybe you've never talked to him, or maybe because of situations that have occurred in your life, there's a Heavenly Father who is looking down, who loves you so much, and He cares about everything that goes on in your life. For He created us, and He made us in His image. Please understand that you are wonderfully and fearfully made by Him, and you can go to Him for anything. You can go to the Father, who will always be there to the very end. So I just encourage somebody and let you know that you are loved, you are cared for. Don't be sad, don't feel depressed, don't feel like giving up, don't feel like throwing in the towel, but understand that you have a God who you can call upon at any time. He's never too busy. He's not slack concerning His promises. With outstretched arms, He welcomes you. Just as the prodigal son, He welcomes you, and He's there for you. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Minister Weatherby, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, so we're going to...
Sounds like we got similar stories almost. I grew up without my father. I knew who he was, but he was not actively involved in my rearing or upbringing at all. As a matter of fact, I just knew him by his first name. Now, as God would have it, our relationship did not become father and son until almost at the end of his life and at the beginning of my spiritual life in Christ. As a matter of fact, within the year that I got saved is when he and I started having conversations. I was living in, at the time, I was living in Irvington, Newark, New Jersey area, and he was back home in my hometown of Buffalo, New York, and I would have conversations with him, and it was only during that time, within that year or so after I got saved, I was about maybe 43, 44 years old, that I ever, the first time I've ever heard him say how proud of me he was and that he loved me, and we talked about some misfortunes that he had as far as this, his present relationship that he was in, the marriage that he was in, and he felt that he was, he was being dealt with by God for how he had dealt with the previous women that he had in his life. And I jokingly, he and I, we joke about it, I said, well, you know what, you just reap what you sow. Being a father is very important. It's extremely important. It's more than just someone being there providing you with financial gifts or anything of that nature. It's much more than that. And because of my upbringing and because of my experience not having a father there, I grew up with this type of understanding in my mind, and I challenged myself that if I ever became a father, that I would always be there for my children. Now, if God would have it, I didn't have any natural children, but I have many children that I mentored, and quite a few of which I've picked up along the way through spiritual children, and I thank God for that. Because again, what God allows us to do, what he reminded me of was that there's no excuse for a father and or a mother not to be a father and or a mother to their children. I don't care what goes on between you and the relationship between whether you're a father, a mother, or if you're a mother, the father. It does not take away from the fact that you have a responsibility to be a father to your children, and that means that you actively participate in the rearing of that child, in the nurturing of that child. You don't have to be there to do that. You just have to do it. You just have to show that interest and willingness to do so. I thank God that I never harbored any ill thoughts about him or anything like that. I just was disappointed. And I thank God that he allowed me to get past that. We had that moment where about a year and a half or so before he passed. Two years before he passed, that he and I were able to communicate with one another on a pretty regular basis by phone. And he understood the significance of what it meant for him to be a father, but it was, albeit late in time, but I just thank God for those that did stand in the gap. You know, I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, when I was living in Mississippi for about 6-7 years, and others that had some kind of influence on me. And I just thank God that all of that experience has brought me to the point where I am right now, in understanding the significance of what it means to have those dynamics within the family relationship between the parents and the children. I'm grateful to God that He is our Heavenly Father, and that as Minister Cheryl pointed out, when all others forsake us, God will not. He will never forsake us, and He's always there with us. And we have to be able to, as believers in Christ, you have to be able to forgive your mothers and your fathers that may not have done what they should have done by you as a parent, as a mother, and as a father, because that's the requirement that we have for being in a relationship with Christ. Being mindful of the fact that, the Bible says that while we were yet dying in our sins, that he died for the ungodly. God forgave us while we're in the midst of our sins. So we have a responsibility to be able to forgive those parents, our fathers, mothers, or anyone that has, not done right by us. So I'm just grateful to God that, that he gives us, afford us an opportunity. And I'm just so happy. I just want to read something real quick here that I was up this morning kind of early. Before I went, I hadn't really fell asleep. It was about close to 3 o'clock I was still up.
Mm-hmm.
I got a message on Facebook from one of my spiritual daughters who happens to live, I've known her for the last year or so. She lives in Pretoria, South Africa. And she's a woman that's given her life over to God and really decided more than a year or so ago that she needed to do something different. She needed to do something, not fall into any traps that were happening around her. And she just gave her life over to the Lord. And as the Lord would have it, she saw my post on Facebook and she sought me out. She sent me this message here this morning, and I tried to get her to get back to me to let me know where this quote came from. And she says, a wise man once said, you do not become a father by bearing your own child, but by your willingness and ability to love and care for any child in your presence. She says, thank you for always being there for me. Happy Father's Day. Have a lovely day. And I was just so blessed by that, and this was early in the morning. So I just thank God for what he does, and for all those that are fathers, be they natural fathers or those that have standing in the gap as a father, and even mothers that take on dual roles of being father to their children. I just bless them on this day.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, earlier today I was on break at work, and I'm on Facebook, and this gentleman puts up there that on Mother's Day that Facebook never acknowledges the fathers who are the mothers and the fathers. So why on Father's Day do we see all these posts that says women who are mothers and fathers? So, of course, I commented, you know, because I feel that, you know, my mom is a mother and a father, you know, because when my dad left, she's the one that didn't give up, you know, on her children, you know, the children that she has, you know, with my dad, she still raised them, you know, she didn't give up and she didn't, you know, not speak to us about, you know, how someone is supposed to treat us, you know, and she definitely made sure that she explained it to us. I think that having a father figure would have helped a little bit more, you know, especially with my uncles and everyone being so far away. You know, they were in New Jersey and South Carolina and North Carolina, you know, they were far away, you know, so I think that having a father in your life when you're a little girl means a lot, you know, because it's certain things to me, I think that my mom wasn't able to show me or tell me, you know, because I still remember like little things that used to be said and was done, you know, and it affected me, you know, and the feeling of being a little girl and saying to yourself, okay, but dad left, but how come he didn't take me too? You know, that feeling of, you know, of course, one side of the family, like, oh, yeah, he could have took you, but he didn't take you, you know, this, that, and the other, shows how much he cares about you, you know, like little things like that. I think that it makes someone hold on to unnecessary, like, feelings, you know, or a burden that they don't necessarily have to have. So I say all this because what I did was I commented that, you know, but I didn't put it on his Facebook. I sent him an inbox, you know, just like letting him know, like, yeah, you know, I understand your post, you know, but sometimes the mothers out there are mothers and fathers, whether they're a mother and father because the father's not there, or whether it's a mother and father, the father's deceased, whatever the case may be, if that woman lives in a household by herself and it's only her children, that is a mother and a father, don't you agree? You know, and he said, yeah, but, you know, sometimes, you know, women get, you know, pregnant, and then they know that the guy's not going to stay, and the next thing you know, they want to keep the baby anyway, even though the guy said that he wasn't going to stay. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? That's why, one, you shouldn't be doing it then, because there's a consequence for it. You know, everything has a consequence, and this is a consequence that, you know, there is. A lot of people, I say children are a gift, you know, but I know at, like, my employment, you know, a lot of the kids are like, oh, my mom said that it was a curse. You know, it was a curse because I look just like them. You know, I act just like them. So, you know, I just say it all because I just want everyone to really understand that, you know, the mothers out there that are truly doing the mother and the father role, I believe they should be acknowledged, and not just acknowledged on Mother's Day, but they should be acknowledged throughout the year. The fathers who are fathers and they're taking care of their children, I say happy Father's Day to my mom. I say happy Mother's Day to my mom. You know, happy Mother's Day, you know, to Rich Money, and happy Father's Day to Rich Money. You know, because before me, he has a past. So if, and I have a past. So with us having a past, I think that everything that we've been through when it comes down to our children, you know, it helps us to make us better parents for our children now that we've, you know, come together. And for anyone that is a stepfather, you know, out there, or a stepmother, you know, it takes a strong person to be able to come into a relationship and to accept someone else's children, you know. But I think that not only does it take a strong person, but you have to have it in your heart. And you have to understand that this person has a complete package, you know. And I think if there's a complete package and you say, okay, yes, I'm interested, then you have to accept the complete package or you can't be there. And I think, you know, a lot of people nowadays as well, they feel like they can, you know, have a boyfriend or have a girlfriend, but they're not accept the children because they don't want to deal with the baby mother drama or baby father drama, you know, and that's not how it works. That's how the relationship will never work, you know, based on the fact of you're not accepting their past life. Then you're not accepting something that's so near and dear to their heart. So the guy was pretty nice about it, you know, he just explained that, like, his baby mother had put up on Facebook that, you know, Happy Father's Day to her, and she's the person that wouldn't allow him to be a, you know, be a part of his child's life. So he was feeling pretty much some kind of way about it. So I'm like, okay, but you took pretty much your personal feelings, you know, and made it seem like, okay, it was unacceptable. And, you know, I asked him, I said, well, you know, if you get a chance to call into Spiritual Sunday tonight and just share some of your stories, because it's unfortunate how, you know, something happens and you're not allowed to be a part of the children's life, you know, and not allowed, you know, it could be a court order, but the mother still won't obey by it or the father wouldn't abide by it, however it works out. But I think it's unfortunate, you know, and I said, you know, Spiritual Sunday, where we share our testimonies, the testimony is, you know, what have you been through in your life? And for the fathers, you know, who have children, being a father, dealing with the everyday life, dealing with raising your children, you know, dealing with the odds and ends and about being a father or being a mother, I think that, you know, there definitely should be, you know, not a reward, but just some type of acknowledgement for them, you know, since they are doing a good job and they are, you know, definitely stepping up the plate. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go to a song, but before I do that, I just want to definitely mention the number to call is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to share your testimony or say what you're thankful for. You know, or if you just want to give words of encouragement to another caller, another father that's out there or a mother that's out there, or just basically just want to say, you know, Happy Father's Day to all. You can just press the 1 button. If you're listening from the PC, you can press the link, and the link will allow you to listen to the show. If you'd like to go on the air, you do have to dial the number 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. We're going to go to a song, and then we'll be right back. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Embrace. Right here, right now, with me. You know that your presence is all.
welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Of course, with it being Father's Day, anyone that is looking to get on the air, you do have to press the 1 button. We're going to continue on with the show. And before I forget, we do have our new show up next at 9 o'clock called Crossroads Temple, and that's with Faith Walker, where on that show he will be interviewing hip-hop gospel artists. And that's called Crossroads Temple. The first show aired last week, Sunday. And the music is definitely good. It's different, you know. And, of course, I think I had asked the question before on a Friday show that after they start doing, maybe a Sunday show, after they started, you know, for any type of artist that started off doing one music and then they converted over and started doing another type of music, you know, if they would ever go back. And the gentleman that was on, he was definitely, you know, on point. And he just said, you know, whatever type of music he does, you know, he's still doing, you know, you're still going to know that, you know, he's a gospel, you know, artist. And the music that he has, it was definitely, you know, good music. I don't know if anyone got a chance to, you know, listen to it, but it was definitely good. And shared his testimony, you know, so that is Faith Walker. He'll be up next starting at 9 o'clock in this 12 Crossroads Temple. So I believe he has a special guest or an up-and-coming artist coming on tonight. You know, where we'll get to hear more of the music, as well as, you know, Faith will actually give him an interview and just allow him to be able to, you know, express their selves and tell their testimony, tell their story of what they've been doing, how long they've been doing it, talk about their song. So it's definitely a good show to have. Last week's show was definitely good. So if anyone's still listening, you can definitely continue to listen. And then at 9 o'clock, the show that's coming on is called Crossroads Temple with Faith Walker. I didn't want to forget to mention that. And once again, of course, happy Father's Day for all of the fathers out there. And I know my brother's going to kill me, but happy birthday, Jeremy. No, he's going to kill me. Because even when I put a post up on Facebook today, I did not mention him. So happy birthday, Jeremy. So he knows that on Spiritual Sunday, happy birthday, happy Father's Day. I did say happy Father's Day to him. So I did actually want to share a story that happened to me at work yesterday. And looking, of course, for some feedback on it. I think I did a very good job. I think Minister Weathersby would be proud of me for this one, let me tell you. Because we, you know, we go way back. And one of the patients, I got into a little situation with another patient, and one of the patient's mother came up, and let's just say that the one patient, the little patient, and she's a little white girl. You know, she's very nice, and the other girl is a black girl. And I say the race because the end part of this story, you'll understand. The one was the white girl, which is the quiet one, and the black girl was the aggressive one. But this time, she wasn't aggressive. She was quiet. So when the one girl's mom came to visit, the little black girl just looked at her. Right? She just looked at her. And as soon as she looked at her, the girl flipped. Stop looking at me. What's your problem? You keep bothering me. And this, that, and the other. Like, she was outrageous for her mother standing there. So, of course, in return, that made the mother get upset as well. So the mother is being very disrespectful. She's saying racial slurs and everything to the patient. Okay? It got bad. She's saying racial slurs, so we're trying to calm her down. And the only thing I could think about is, if this girl's mother and father would have been there, it would have been a situation, you know, at the hospital, based on a look. So I kind of gave like a lecture say of, you know, everyone has eyes and they're supposed to use their eyes to see, and you can't control where someone looks. And if the person looks at you too long, you know, you can't get too upset by it because it's their eyes, you know, and we can't say, oh, stop looking at her. You know, no, we have to, you know, continue on. And if you don't, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you can ask her, you know, like, please, you know, stop staring at me. I feel some kind of way. But I say all this because after the one girl's mom decided she wanted to act up last night, she started to tell us staff that we don't want any of her. We don't want a piece of her. Now, for everyone that knows me, the old Lavina would have been like, what? You know? And I definitely would have gave a tongue lashing, you know, regardless of where I was at. The old Lavina would have done that. But the new Lavina, she didn't do that. You know, she kind of just said, okay, ma'am, you know, you have to leave. You know, it's time for you to go. Because, you know, this is what's going on. And, you know, you can't be, you know, saying racial slurs to patients, you know, and telling them what you would do to them. You know, you can't do that. So she, you know, told me she was going to pretty much call the head director, you know, of the hospital and speak to the director about it. So we finally got the lady to leave, and we got her to visit on another unit with her daughter. So after the lady flipped off, she flipped out on all of the staff, myself, two other people, the counselor, the nurse, you know, all of us were right there, and she was just cursing about. Now, the old Lavina, I'm going to say before I was seeing, she would have gave a tongue lashing out of this world. Like, right there at the job, she would have gave a bad tongue lashing. But instead, I didn't. I just, you know, nicely said to her, okay, well, you know, you kind of have to go. Like, this nut right here is not going to work. You know, we're trying to keep the environment safe for the kids, and you kind of came in here yelling racial slurs. Now, mind you, everyone that was on the unit at that time when she was saying the racial slurs were all black. All of us were black. There was literally two that wasn't. So today came, of course, and mother came to the hospital, and she wants to pull me to the side, and she wants to apologize to me for the way she spoke to me. I looked at her. I said, okay, no problem. She said, but, you know, we've all been there. You know, we've all, you know, cursed out someone else's kids for our own kids. And I looked at her, and I said, no. That's not how I do it. So I haven't been there. I can't relate. You know, I said, but please, you know, just always remember that you're coming into a psych hospital with psych patients. And if it was one of our other patients, it would have ended up being a situation, you know, based on the fact that you're disrespecting them, you're embarrassing them, you're calling them out their names. And today when she came in with the girl's father. And the father seemed like he understood, you know. He didn't know, they're not together. So he didn't really understand the fact that his wife had cursed out all the staff and cursed out the patient and threatened to hit the patient. He didn't know all of that until I told him today. And then he just looked at her, and you could tell he was so embarrassed. And the girl just kept saying, I want to spend time with my father. So I said, okay, well, go ahead and spend time with your father. When I tell you, I sat in there and I listened because you have to, like, monitor the visits. She gave a complete story that was out of this world. And the old Lavina would have called her out on the story and the lies that she was saying. But I didn't. You know, I just let her think by eye, and I said to myself, I would love to give her an Oscar award right now. Because she was just so, I mean, crying with snot rolling down and everything. But she came later on and was trying to talk to me. I said, you know, it was terrible. I mean, if anyone ever works with children and you have children, or you've seen children where they're so upset, where they have the snot rolling down their nose and the eyes is all watery and everything. It was disgusting. And she's literally, like, going on with it. So I really wanted to give her an Oscar award, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I say all this because at the end of the day, she said to the other girl, some of the other patients that's there, that the little African-American girl, let me say it that way, little African-American girl threatened and attacked her and her mother last night. Now, if I wasn't there to tell the truth of what truly happened, they would have really hurt this girl, you know? And I asked her, I said, okay, I thought you were going to drop it. And she's like, no, I want her to hit me. I want her to hit me so I can go to the other unit. I want her to hit me. So that's all she kept saying. And I'm like, but you actually want her? Yeah, I want her to hit me. And I'm going to keep on talking until she hits me. So you don't know how I felt. Like, I really felt like it's going to end up happening, you know, because please remember that these are psych patients. You know, not all of them are there because they're crazy. You know, they're there because they have behavioral problems. And this one particular girl does have behavioral problems. And I'm actually afraid for her safety because I don't want her to lose her cool and hit this girl. So I prayed on it before I left today. And, you know, the little African-American girl, she asked me for a Bible. So I said, all right. So I gave her the Bible I had in my car, a little pocket Bible. And she just said, Miss Polite, I'm going to have to pray because she wants me to hit her. And I'm going to end up hitting her. So I'm going to ask for forgiveness before I do it. I said, I'm one that used to do that when I was younger because I grew up in church. Before I act a fool, I would just say, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was terrible when I was little, you know, and I said it. So when she said it today, it just brought a flashback to myself of how I used to behave and how I would easily take the Bible and I would just say, you know, God, please forgive me for what I'm about to do. But, you know, before I was going to get into a fight, I did the same thing. So I just looked at her and I said, no. I said, you know what? When you pray, just ask God for just the knowledge and to get patience. Because, and just to keep you grounded, that's what you need. You know, don't say for what I'm about to do because it's premeditated. You know exactly what you're about to do. You just want him to forgive you before he do it. But guess what? He already knows what's going to happen. You just got to comprehend that, listen, if I put my hands on her, he already knows the outcome. You really understand, you know, the outcome. And today was Father's Day, and her father didn't come visit her. So I know that that kind of bothered her, you know, too. Like, she wanted to visit. She wanted him to come. He didn't come. And I think that was bothering her. But I'm hoping and praying that tonight that she didn't put her hands on anybody and that she definitely, you know, kept it together. I hope she did. I really do. I really hope that she did because that's what they want. You know, they want you to actually, you know, put your hands on me. That's what she wants. And I don't want her to do it. Lord knows I don't. I don't want her to do it because I know she'll get into a lot of trouble. You know, it'll mess up the discharge and it'll give her medication and stuff like that, you know, and more than what she needs at this point. So I definitely wanted to, you know, share that story. And, of course, I'm praying for her tonight. Of course, confidentiality, can't say her name, but I'm definitely praying for her. And when Minister Cheryl Miller prays tonight, you know, I'm definitely going to call up her name just to, you know, just call it out to make sure that she's definitely on that prayer list as well. To keep her, you know, just to help her and keep her, you know, grounded. We have a lot of them, but only some of them want to change. Some of them's ready for that transformation. And, you know, some of them is not. So, what we're going to do, of course, Minister Weathers, here, if there's anything that's, you know, on your heart or in your mind that you want to talk about, we can talk about. Minister Miller's call drop. So I'm just going to give her a little bit to call back in. But we can go to a song and then come back and you can give us some information about your book as well and talk about it because that's definitely an uplifting book that everyone should go out and get, especially Check the DNA and Unless God Built the House. So if you want to take the time when we come back from a song, you know, just to enlighten them on family, you know, especially because it's Father's Day and as everyone is, you know, out and celebrating and reminiscing on, you know, being a father, you know, if you want to share just a little bit about your book that can help and be encouraged, can be an encouragement for other people as well, if that's okay with you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go to a song, come right back.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never. Lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm stronger. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say it with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh, oh, oh.
I must say that is one of my favorite songs.
Amen.
One of my favorite songs. That song used to make me cry every time I heard it. But now I've learned, now I've learned that when my heart's not so heavy, then I'm not crying. But when my heart is heavy and I'm just feeling everything from every which direction, then I'm crying. And I was never really the emotional one, but it seems like I be crying a lot. Like, woo! I don't know. It seems like I'll cry in a drop of a dime at this point. But only when my heart's heavy. But when it's not heavy, I'm just like, you know, I could hear it over and over and over again and sing to it and be fine. But then other times, I'm just crying when I'm, you know, my heart is heavy. But I think, you know, a lot of us can relate to that song. It's surely with our, you know, our testimonies of our life. But Minister Weathersby.
Yes.
All right. You ready?
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right. So you go ahead and I'm gonna.
Well, we just thank God and praise God for what He's doing, and even in that that incident that you were referring to at work was very interesting and speaks to. Family, as we, you know, as we talk about the significance of a family, you know, children end up in places where you work because you know, there's something going on in their home, and there's something that's lacking within that home. Children just don't act out just because they're just totally bad. There's some other dynamics that may be going on in a household that cause a child to act out in the way that they do. And, you know, having been around in environments where there's dysfunction in family and being involved with, you know, mentoring youth that are troubled. And, you know, God just allows us to see certain things. And one of the things that, that he had me focus in, which is my primary ministry, which is family and marriages, but primarily family, is that... there was just a distinction that God kept. I mean, just like slapping me in the face. The troubles and the struggles that we find going on naturally within our families. It was just real clear to me that these are some of the struggles that go on that unfortunately within the body of Christ and with believers. And we're missing the understanding of what God intended when He established families. Families were intended to be a mirror for us as to the relationship that God desired between us and Him. And from where I can see, from my perspective and my years of growing old to the age that I am now, there is a definite a lack of God within the households over the last several generations of people. And that's why we have the type of dysfunction going on within our families and our children and our marriages. There's no God there. There's no presence of God. And it's sad, but you know, it's unfortunate that it's really there's a lot of it going on within our faith that's really troubling, because a lot of people believe that they're doing the things that they should be doing that are pleasing God in their relationship with Him. But I'm clear from looking at the scriptures that if you're not doing it right with your families and within your marriages, there's no way that you're doing it right with God. I'm sorry, that's just not happening. But this is a time, this is a season for healing and restoration. God is really trying to get his people to come to understand that, that you know, there's a violent and a serious attack against families and marriages, and is designed to, destroy and defeat the believers and the relationship that we have with God. Because, again, when God looks at us, he looks at us as being a part of his family. He says that he's our father. Jesus said he's our God. He's your father. He's the only one that should have that distinct designation as being father. Because according to the word of God, when you look in the Bible, before we were even born, God knew us. So he fathered us in the spirit realm before we became a living soul in the natural realm. And we know what he did with Adam. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. God had that. He's always had a great connection for us. He's always had a great affection and love for us. And in that regard, he, like I said, he considers us to be his children. We are adopted into the family of Christ by the the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood at Calvary. God is he clearly wants us to be in a relationship with him. In our family and also in our marriages, because he also identifies that Christ is that we're married to Christ and he's our bridegroom and we're the bride of Christ. So there's a distinct correlation in how we interact with one another in the natural, in our families, and how we should be interacting with one another spiritually as well. And it's a major challenge. It's a major challenge that lays before us. I'm telling people, now that they've got to go forth and try to heal and restore their relationships within their families. It's crucial. It's crucial. God never intended for our families to be separated. Now, people understand that, that because there's individuals, we're all individuals, we're unique in who we and our and our characteristics, there's no duplicate of me or you. You're unique unto yourself. But however, there should be a commonality that exists between those of us that are in family and those of us that are in the body of Christ as well. And that bond should be God and his love. And matter of fact, there shouldn't be anything that should separate us from one another. I don't care what we go through or how we feel on a certain day or what somebody does to me on this day, what they say to me on that day or that moment. Yeah, we're going to have our differences, but that don't mean that you just, totally disavow yourself of the relationship. The Bible says that what God has joined together, let no man separate. And he joined us together as a family. He joined us together in relationship with him. And there should be nothing that should separate that. And unfortunately, we have allowed those things to, other things to separate us. And that's why you have dysfunction within the family. That's why you have, someone like myself growing up. And although my father, I knew who he was, he never really was a father. Because, that separation, he allowed that to happen. And that should never happen. Because we need one another. That's the significance as to why God created the relationships that he did. He didn't put us out here so we can live our life on our own and like we're living on an island or something like that. We literally need one another. We need one another in this life to be able to get through. The reason why we have our relationships in our families and in our marriages so that we can support one another, help one another. When one is hurting, we all hurt. And the Bible says we're supposed to rejoice in the well-doing of others. And yes, when one is being blessed, then we all should be happy for that. But, and when one is sad, then we all should be sad. We should all hurt. Sister Vivian, you're talking about how of late that you've become emotional. Well, that's not a bad thing in and of itself. I was talking to a Sunday school class this morning, and particularly the men, about how we have this here image of how a man is supposed to be. You know, macho, men don't cry, men are not emotional. You know, men can't show any weakness or whatsoever. That's the worst type of crap that you can feed somebody, a young boy growing up, so he can become a man, because it puts him in a position where he can't succeed. There's no way that you somebody's going to be strong 100% of the time. That just can't happen. That just can't happen. And to show that you, and to try to impress upon a young child, a young boy, that just because he shows emotions that makes him less, that makes him less than a man, that's the work of the devil. Because you know what? Jesus showed compassion whenever he came upon people. He was touched by people. Now, you know, we know the story of what happened with his best friend. Well, one of his, I would say his best friend. One of his friends, Lazarus, who had gotten sick, and word had came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus said, "Well, this sickness is not unto death." But during the course of that that time that the word had got to him, Lazarus died, and because Jesus took his time doing whatever he was doing, because again, he wants to, you know, he was looking to glorify God in this whole process, and he, like he said, he knew that Lazarus was not dead. Finally, word came to him that he died, and then he made his way to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, and ran into Martha, Lazarus' older sister, who had heard that he was coming, so she ran to him, and accosted him about, you know, "Lord, if you'd have been here, surely my brother would have surely lived." And then he asked her, "You believe in the resurrection?" And she says, "Well, I believe in the resurrection." And he said, "Well, I am the resurrection." That didn't really satisfy her, so she got up and ran away from there and went to her sister, Mary, her younger sister, Mary came, fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him and asked the exact same question. And he gave the exact same response and said, she had made the exact same statement, and he asked her the exact same question, and she gave the exact same response. And then he said, "Well, take me to where you laid him." And when they got there, and he saw that there was a crowd of people. Now, I understand this is a Jewish faith. They have this here thing about death, and they pay mourners. They had literally paid people to come and mourn. So there were people all over the place, and they were wailing, just crying out. And Jesus stood around there, and in the midst of all that, when they showed him where he was laid, the Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. And people say, "Well, he wept because of Lazarus' death." No, he did not. He wept because of the people that were around him. But the point was, Jesus wept. And he's our perfect example. And he was a man. He was God, but he was a man. And he wept. And he showed emotion. But the Bible tells us that we have to understand this, is that in our weakness, and when we're made weak, God is made strong. And the strength of a man is not what his exterior is, or what he looks like, or how physically he looks, or how big he is, or whatever. The strength of a man is the ability to show forth weakness, to show forth compassion, to show forth emotions, because that just lets you know that that man is not so hung up on himself to be able to show forth emotion and show forth weakness or when you can't do anything. That don't make you less than a man, because you can. Matter of fact, it makes you more of a man, because you're acknowledging it. Because, I mean, it'd be one thing to believe that you can do something, or try to go on like you can do something when you can't. And that's why you have a lot of men that, when they fail at something, they have a hard time recouping, because they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle it, because, it just speaks to my manhood. I wasn't able to do this. I wasn't able to do that. Well, that's why we are in a relationship with God, and why he brings us into relationship with him. Because, again, like I said, we're here in a relationship to help one another. And when you're in a relationship with God, we're in a relationship with him to allow him to help us. Because in our weakness, he's made strong. He gives us everything that we need to accomplish, whatever we need to accomplish in him. And that's why, you know, we can say from Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." But all that comes from a relationship and being a part of a family, of a unit. And that's the significance of what we need to have in this life in order for us to survive the challenges and the struggles that we face. They're difficult in and of themselves, and trying to do it on your own is a difficult task to try to do. You're hurting yourself if you try to go through and just deal with this life on your own. We can't do it. We just can't do it. But we're supposed to be able to, in our relationships with one another as a family, help one another. Family members should be lifting one another up, not denigrating them, not putting them down or anything like that, to lift one another up. Oh, there's going to be differences. There's going to be certain things about each other that we're not going to be in agreement with, but that bond, it should be unbreakable.
That's right.
Bond should be totally unbreakable. So we just pray on this day, Father's Day, that everybody that, you know, that's listening in, that they truly understand the significance of what it means to be in a family and be in a relationship. And I pray and trust that they also understand the significance of what God expects from us in the relationship with Him. What He asks of us to do is with one another is what He asks that we do with Him as well. We are to be unison with one another. We are to be working together with one another. And, you know, we're to respect and love one another. I mean, Jesus told his disciples when he was leaving, he said, "I got one more commandment I got to give you. And that is that you love one another." You know, love one another as I have loved you. We pray there on this day, on Father's Day, and each and every day, that families find a way to really connect themselves back together again. And whatever it is that's caused brokenness in the relationship, that relationship gets healed and restored. Again, we need one another. And if you're a child of God and you're trying to make your way into the kingdom, if you're not doing it right with your family, then you know what? You better believe, and all you got to do is go to the Word. You're not going to be doing it right with God either.
Amen. Amen. Minister Weber,
that's the backdrop for the book that I wrote. It really defines that and tries to, and I throw scriptures. There's scriptures all up in the place. So if folks want to say, "Well, no, God ain't saying this." Well, no, you can go and read it for yourself. I mean, it's in the book as well. And I tell people this. What I know is that the Word of God is irrefutable. You can argue with me, but you cannot argue with the Word.
That's right. Amen. Amen. We're going to bring on Kia real fast, and then we'll continue. Hey, Kia, how are you?
Hi. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Amen.
Amen.
Church is awesome today. You know, my pastor took out a scripture out of Psalm 46 he took out. Then he said a statement. He made two statements today. He said, "Let go of what you're depending on. God don't play tug of war." Then he took of another statement. He says, "There's some stuff the devil took. I want to tell him to keep it." So that, you know, when he threw that in there, everybody was like, you know, I took that and I was like, wow. So you look at that. But I'm blessed. I know y'all talk about Father's Day and reminiscing. I'm blessed that I had my father in my life, both parents. It's, you know, still a sweet memory for me because, you know, my dad died of a massive heart attack May 3rd, and then gave his Father's Day and the 24th of his birthday. So it falls in the air. I was blessed. I had a great dad. I grew up military. You know, I was the last of all my parents, nine of us, but I was the last. I was the unexpected child. My father was away. They tell the story. My father was away out of the country. My mother came back to South Carolina for a visit, and she wasn't feeling well. She went to the doctor, and she said she was pregnant. She said, "No way, I can't be pregnant. My baby is 15. How can I be pregnant? You know, well, you're pregnant, Miss Henderson." And it was me. My father shared that about me being the last and his last, and about the memories. The only part of my life, he was always traveling. Gone, but my middle teen years, he was there around But I was blessed just to have him in my life. I thank God for just allowing him to keep his family together and to be the father he needs to be to his children. We are a close-knit family. I come from a close-knit family. So, you know, whatever is ailing one person is ailing the other. My grandmother always used to say, you don't get too busy, you don't care about family. You don't care how busy you get, you got to care about family. So I have great memories of my father. I have great memories of him, seeing him getting my bachelor's and then seeing him coming back to get my MBA, and just to see the look on his face of tears, to see the last one of me, and he was done. And, you know, I have great memories of him. We were watching videos of him today, back when he was, you know, just a lot of stuff, just sharing. I was been a little bent over, like, people putting pictures of him on Facebook all last year. It's my first time up there. I didn't want everybody to, like, you know, and I got over that because I didn't want my cousins, like, oh, I'm going to put a picture of your father. I'm like, no, I'm not ready to, you know. But I got over that. It took a lot of healing for me to get over that. I guess because why my dad had to die from a heart attack. You know, I was like, oh.
Right.
35 years, fit, everything, in the Marines, fit. And just one day my mama called me, you got to come to the hospital. I get there, it was too late. Every time May 3rd come around, I think about that, a second late of me getting there, and he was already gone. But I thank God for his life. I thank God for the people who he touched in their life, and the day when the thing I like about, you're going to know who, I want to say when you leave here, people, the life that you touch on people on this earth, they're going to show it in a different way. They showed it to my family, the Marines, you name it, all of you name it. The thing I hate about today is I can't get up to go to the cemetery, but we took my father's body back to South Carolina. New Jersey is not home for us. It's just the resting place for the military.
Exactly.
The day the Marines came and got my dad's body out of Newark and flew it to South Carolina, and we flew on the same plane, and the same Marines came and escorted him, the officer came and took another officer off. It was a line of Marine, line of military, line all the way to the cemetery, all the way to the funeral home. They were lining that casket up to go back. So I thank God for the people that he had touched, the guys that he fought battles with, the guys that he that came from all over to come to South Carolina to watch as we laid them to rest. I will never forget. I'm looking at pictures of people who just came, shared all over that came. Stuff from former presidents that lived, you know, the same, because he was in the military 35 years, an officer. So I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, my mother was able to be the companion to him, to be a support to him, you know, to be that wife that he needed, and to raise his kids while he was away fighting the war. So, you know, she did a good job with us. I thank God. I thank God for her strength. I really do, because she got two more sons in the military. So I just thank God for my mother's strength, because she had a lot of strength to go through this, to lose the man she loved, that she knew since 18, to leave this world May 3rd. So, you know, I thank God for that. And it's always, you know, because he got a birthday the 24th, so it's always right behind each other. May 3rd, Father's Day, then his birthday. But I thank God for strength. I thank God for travel and mercy today, because it was just, you know, going to cemeteries, visiting family members. But I just thank God for all the fathers who paid and played an important part in their children's life, because you cannot imagine, you know, of course, the time when I get married, my dad won't be there, but he's there. Every time I get up, I look at his picture. That's the first picture I look at. That's the closest I have with my dad.
Amen. And Kia, because you had, you know, a wonderful relationship with your dad, you know, and of course, you know, him being there, you know, for you, what words of encouragement would you give someone else when it's pertaining to their father? Like what I was explaining was, you know, I would definitely tell anyone just to, if something happened, to learn to forgive. You know, to make,
you know what,
with
my
that,
you know,
because,
my parents, yeah, my parents are big on, you don't go to bed mad. You know, you can go to bed angry with one another, because you just never know the next day. So, you know, you always think about people who, I've seen cousins who probably, you know, have fallen out with their parents, and then maybe they got sick or whatever. My father always was big on, you make sure everybody is well, because he, you know, the fact that he was gone all the time, He made sure my brothers that was back here and sure everybody was well. You don't be mad or envy of anybody because you all we have. Y'all all y'all have right now. Because me and Mama leave here tomorrow, y'all all y'all have. You have to be able to get along. You may not agree with each other, but you got to be able to get along. Y'all got to love because you're my children. Y'all got to get along. And we did, you know, of course, I took a lot of, you know, because them, by them being older, I had more parents. And I used to bother me, be like, you know, they're not my parents. Like, you know, I was the one, like, Daddy said I can do this. No, you're not doing this. And I couldn't call my father because he's out of country. So it's like I had more fathers than I needed, you know. So, but they were good. My brothers were good. They were fair, but they were just a little, you know. But my parents were big on, and I, you know, we're not going to get along. We're not going to get along. You're not going to like one another. But you're going to see about family. You're going to make sure. My grandma was big about that. You don't. Nobody in the family should be hungry when you got something. Nobody in the family should be hungry when you have something. My grandmother was big about that. Should nobody have to come and you can't see family? She didn't like that. You don't do stuff and you can't include family members. You have something and you can't invite your family members to something. So my father was the same way about being respectful and showing respect. No, he didn't expect us all to get along and have our own ways, whatever, but he expected us to get along and love each other.
Amen. What verse, I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for our words of encouragement, and then we're going to bring Angie on the air. She's going to be our next caller, but I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement for Kia.
God bless you, Kia. It's just a blessing that you had a relationship with your father and that he was able to teach you so many things. I know that you're thinking about your father and you're sad today, but I encourage you just to remember the time that you spent with him, the good times that you shared, and how he was there for you in your time of need, how much he was proud of you. Truly, you are blessed because you were able to have a father in the household who was able to give you wisdom and to be able to help you in life. Continue to hold on to the memories of your father. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. And just know that God loves you. Just know that God loves you. And he will never, ever put more on you than you can bear. And even though your father is no longer with you, just understand and always remember that you have a Heavenly Father who will comfort you and give you strength in your time of need. Be encouraged, and God bless you. You remain in my prayers and thoughts.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Minister Weathersley.
And I'm going to concur with Minister Cheryl, and also just note that because we're blessed, and you were blessed to have that experience with your father, now you have the responsibility of carrying it forward with whatever children that you have, you know, because you learned and you saw the way that it should be. And that's what we have the responsibility to do. We are our father's children, and when they set the appropriate examples for us, we're supposed to mirror that. So that we can do that with the responsibility that we'll have as parents. I just encourage you to continue to to show forth what you learned and what you experienced in growing up with your father and with your mother and with as a family, and you know, just continue to move forward and do likewise with yours.
Thank you.
Amen. And, I'm just going to say that, you know, even today's a hard day, you know, for some of us. And my dad's been gone, you know, for many years now. And I'm still having, you know, a hard time. I was sharing the story of my plant dying a couple years ago. And that was the last thing I had that reminded me of my dad. That was his. And I brought it back and I nursed it all the time from 2001. And it seems like when I was doing good, the flower was blooming, but then when I was doing bad, it was the leaves were just hanging. And I shared that, you know, I shared that story and just shared that Lately, I've been feeling like, you know, very emotional when it comes down to, you know, fathers and Father's Day being today. I just felt myself just like being really emotional, you know, about it. And I'm missing him even more because there were so many questions that I had that I didn't take the time to ask him before he passed away. So, you know, I just say, you know, I say, I don't think that you understand it, you know, but there's so many people out there that doesn't understand that it's important, if it's possible, to have your mother and your father. It doesn't mean your father has to live with you. Just to have him be active in your life, or just to have your mother be active in your life, I think that that's important, because as children, we have no control over whether or not our parents are going to be together. I believe that when you set a solid foundation and you raise your children up a certain way, you're setting, you know, you're supposed to lead by example. And I think that, you know, what your parents did with you was definitely wonderful, you know, because I hear you on the shows and, you know, I heard you say, and automatically I just had a connection with you because we spoke on many occasions. And I just want to say that we love you, and, you know, I'm definitely praying for you, because I know that the times are, you know, are hard around this month for you.
It is hard.
I love you, and, you know, it's hard. What we're going to do, we're going to bring on Angie real fast. Angie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Angie.
Hi. I just want to give honor to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know we're pressed for time right now, so I'm not going to take long or whatever. I'm just, you know, listening to the stories or whatever. So I want to give a shout out to, I didn't have the privilege of really having any time spent with my own father, but I did have a stepfather and my brother, which were male figures in my life and in my children's lives. And, you know, and like you said, they have to lead by example, and that they did. You know, they weren't, you know, they, you know, I'm not going to really get into specifics, but they are good men. They worked. They showed that, you know, things have to be done or whatever, and it's not all about money. You know, they took time, you know, to teach them things, you know, how to do. They know how to do it, like, basically everything, you know. That's kind of rare nowadays with the younger people, that, you know, they're not really seeing that, you know. And my mom and I were having a conversation of how my elder uncles, may they all rest in peace, how they all knew how to do something. And they cooked, they were carpenters, and, you know, they had all of this going on and from the natural. They didn't have any schooling or anything. And not only did they know how to do it, they did it. They did it. They showed us how to do things. You know what I'm saying? And we have to, you know, learn to share that with our children. You know, and me being a single mother, you know, I try to teach my – I can't teach my son how to be a man because I'm not, but I could teach him how to be a respectable person. So being a respectable person has nothing to do with gender. So, you know, it's up to me to, you know, to try to show them that you do have to work for things that you want. You know, and having a relationship with Christ. So it's just important. I just want to, you know, give happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there, those that are listening, you know, those father figures in kids' lives or whatever. It's very important. It's important. So, you know, that they're physically taking time out with children, because nowadays the internet now is our children's, like, worst enemy. So if you can get them away from that as much as possible and take them out and show them some things, that would be a great deal, a great deal. So I just thank God on today anyway for my life, health, and strength, and the life, health, and strength of my children, my family, and thanks for giving me the time. Again, I know we're pressed.
You're welcome, you know. You're welcome. I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders, of course, for words of encouragement.
God bless you, dear sis. May God just continue to bless you and keep you. I think it's a blessing that you had your brothers there to help you in your life as you grew up, and May God just impart his wisdom and knowledge upon you as you are there for your son. And I know that your son loves and admires you for the woman that you have become, and make, you know, he great things in life because of the wisdom that God will give and grant unto you. So just be encouraged, and I'm so glad that you were able to call in, and you will definitely remain in my prayers, God bless.
Thank you. Bless your heart.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Angie. I just really enjoyed the, you know, what you were saying, because you really spoke about the important significance of what it means to be a father. And I just thank God for that you did have that, you know, experience, you know, with your stepdad and your brother, but also in understanding that it's not about money or anything of that nature. It's all about what we impart into children, and you know, which is the essence of being a father and a mother. You know, it's not about what we can, I mean, it's more so than what we can tangibly give them, you know, in materialism, but it's the other things that are more important. So I just thank God for that, and thank God for the testimony that you gave, and just continue on doing what you do.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless your heart.
You're quite welcome. Miss Lavina, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I'm here. I'm here. I actually had it on mute. We have another show coming on after Spiritual Sunday, and I was just making sure everything was together and ready. But Angie, you know, I commend you. You know, I commend you, and I know that, you know, with the stories that we shared tonight, each one of us, that is definitely going to help, you know, someone. You know, my, you know, little 9-year-old was sitting here crying, telling me that she feels bad for me. You know, she feels sad. And I was taking a few minutes out to explain to her, you know, don't feel sad. You know, I'm okay. And she's asking me, because, you know, she's here, so she's hearing the show. And she starts crying. I'm like, why are you crying? You know, and at the same time, I'm trying to be on the air at the same time. But she was feeling sad, you know, and I had to just remind her that, you know, I'm okay, you know, but she never got a chance to meet him, my grandma, you know, my dad, so that's someone that she's never going to get a, you know, a chance to meet, so she doesn't know anything about him. She only seen the picture once or twice, you know, because I don't keep it out, but
well, she just exhibited what it means about being a family.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, if she sees me cry, she's gonna cry. You know,
absolutely.
If I'm, you know, if I'm smiling, she's right there. So I have to just take a few minutes out, but you know, she knows that, you know, I'm okay, and it's just certain things I wish that she can experience that, you know, she's not gonna be able to, you know, experience having a grandfather. You know, meaning having my dad, she's not gonna have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, of course. You know, I know that she'll be great, though. You know, we have a wonderful family. I just think
Amen. Sometimes
that when I go through something, I kind of like just look at her, and she can just look at me, and if, I don't know, I guess my eyes look a certain way, and she just starts crying. I don't know. But with that being said, I want to go to Minister Cheryl Miller to end in prayer for us. But before we do that, I just want to say that we do have Crossroads Temple coming up right after Spiritual Sunday, starting at 9 o'clock. And that's it. Brother Faith Walker, he's going to be on the air doing his show. And I want to thank everyone for taking the time out for joining us on Spiritual Sunday, you know, on Father's Day. Thanks to callers. Thanks to listeners. And just to thank everyone that makes, you know, Spiritual Sunday. It takes time to be able to, you know, contribute your time to, you know, doing something else and doing God's work. And I just commend everyone. I thank everyone for taking the time out, and I wish everyone have a blessed and safe week. Minister Miller, if you can end in prayer for us.
Yes, ma'am. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just truly grateful, dear God, for your goodness and your kindness, your tender mercy. God, we're just truly grateful for your great love. And Lord, for the many blessings, dear God, that you just continue to bestow upon us. We just thank you, oh God, just for you just being God. We thank you, oh God, just for your love toward us. We thank you for just being there in times of need. We thank you for being our refuge. We thank you for being our strength. Dear God, we thank you for being our hiding place, God. We just thank you, Lord, because without you, Lord, we wouldn't even be where we are today. And we even thank you for this day, which is Father's Day, Father, which is set apart to acknowledge not just fathers but the mothers, just for being there for their children, whether it be their natural or God children or people or children in which they have raised up, Father God. I just pray that you would just teach, that you would be with each and every one, and that you would just have your way in their lives, dear God. We just pray that you would just continue, Father God, just to be with all of those who called in, Father. We just lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. Each and every person that called in, we just ask you just to continue to bless them and encourage them and strengthen them and just have your way in their life as only you can. Just continue just to rush, rule, and abide in them and through them. Just allow them, give them a heart and desire just to continue to seek your holy and righteous face. Just continue to lift your name up because truly you are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And we thank you, Father God, because you are the greatest Father. We thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for you just allowing him to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Jesus, just for all that you continue to do. We just thank you for how we can cast our cares upon you in time of need, in time of distress. And we just lift up Sister Lavina right now in the name of Jesus. Just continue to be with her and just have your way in her life. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will just continue to touch her body, continue to touch, take away these headaches, whatever it is that's going on. We pray, oh God, that you will just have your way, that she will experience your healing power, your healing virtue, dear God. Even be with her on her job, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus that you, oh God, would just allow her to lean and depend on you, Father God, that she would continue to cast her cares upon you as well. Be with her on her job in part as to what to do. We lift up, Father God, her husband. We pray that you would just continue to have your way in his life. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just allow him to continue to seek your holy and righteous face for direction. We ask you to touch his body as well, that you will continue to send down your healing power and virtue upon him. For by your stripes, Father God, he is healed. Dear God, we lift up Minister Weathersby before you as well. We pray that you will just continue to enlarge his territory as he makes a greater impact for the kingdom of God. We pray, dear God, that you will just continue to strengthen him, strengthen his body, continue to use him for your glory and for your honor. Dear God, we just pray, Father God, that you would just continue just to have your way in our lives. And we even pray that you will be with us this week because we have no idea, we have no clue as to what this is going to hold. But, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will just allow us to put you first, to have devotion with you, to seek your holy and righteous face so that you may be able to speak to our hearts, so that you can be able to lead God and direct us in the way that we should go. And we even pray for the next program that's ahead at 9 o'clock. We pray, God, that you will be in the midst of that. We pray that your people will be encouraged, strengthened, and touched. God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives as we continue to put you first and look unto you, Father God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and we do thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, everyone, please have a blessed and safe week. And once again, we thank you for joining us here on Spiritual Sunday. Up next, we have Faith Walker with Crossroad Temple. Everyone have a blessed evening. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Crossroad Temple. This is Faith Walker. I'm going to give God praise.
And now a moment of silence.
Devils all around, stomp them in the ground. Jesus run the town on his head into ground. All you know is pain, you're bound in some chains. Let the Lord reign and bring peace to your brain. The beast can't be tamed, depart to the flame. The army of the Lord, authority in his name. Ain't playing no game, no demons the same. I quote God's word with power, no shame. What you gonna do? Agreement in two. It's a Holy Ghost that will slay the demon you. Jesus, 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 mighty in battle. I'm a soldier, man.
new work. Trying to find Jehovah.
Is y'all saying crazy? This ain't the 80s. Ain't rapping for Jesus. Mind your business, lady. Keeping the pace. Keeping the faith. Love kills everything, including your hate. Hold up, wait. You rocking the shake. When daddy comes home, we'll see who gets paid. The devil got no power. Rebuke him every hour. The two-way shortcut, convicts and devours. The high boss calls. He died on the cross. Mercy ain't grace for the souls that are lost. Jesus on the throne. Bone. The prodigal, someone wasn't find his way home. I don't think that I'm better. Read Paul's letters. He's all over me, the wool in his sweater. Bible on the side, so I'm a rough ride. Jump in and shout and cast the demons aside. Worship a day, gotta feel this place. I'ma hold out while I run this race. Christ, rough rider, shine so brighter. More light in the sun, a consuming fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now on Crossroad Temple. I'm your host, Mr. Faith Walker. It's an honor and privilege. Shout out to Sister Lavina for that smooth transition. I thank God. It's an honor and privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It's always a house of the Lord because we are His church. Amen. But before I start, while we're waiting on our guest to call in, shout out to Darren Deek, a brother from New Jersey, supposed to be calling in as a gospel vocalist. Shout out to Robert Everett, Quality of Music, Quality of Life. Let's go. But right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for life more abundantly. We thank you, Lord God, for these airwaves, Lord God. Lord God, we turn these airwaves entirely over to you, Lord God. Consecrate them, set them apart, Lord God. Sanctify them against anything undefiled, Lord God. Anything defiled, anything that is not pleasing in your sight, Lord God. We loose ministering angels. We loose warring angels, Lord God, and coming against any and everything, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We ask that you anoint us who are on this line. Allow all the callers who call in, Lord God, to be here by divine appointment, Lord God. Let them be illuminated to the truth, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we get started, I'd like to say something. Furthermore, I think today's Father's Day. You know, and I think there's been a lot of things said about fathers. You know, when it's Mother's Day, you know, we kind of go out and buy the mother's gifts and everything, and it's just a blessing. But I just was sitting back, and I was just dealing with my own fatherhood, amen, because the Bible says examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. And then just allowing the Holy Ghost to really minister to me and just really speak to me about what a father is and that, you know, a father is covering, you know, a father is leadership, strength. It's impartation, amen. It's a mother nurtures, and that's cool. You know, he nurtures the son and daughter for the journey. But with a father, you can get a father. He can fat you with the milk and the meat of the word. But a father is parallel to Christ, and the wife, of course, is the church. And the children is that ministry. So, you know, the people that are in ministry right now, the bishops, the deacons, the elders, the fivefold ministers, in their spiritual realm is parallel to our children, the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God, teaching them kingdom principles, and also about how to conduct themselves as kings and priests, a king guides while a priest sacrifices. And we must examine ourselves of what we're sacrificing. I mean, child support is a blessing, and I mean, it's also a lesson, because the devil uses this to blind many to the spiritual support. Not only child support, but I think the thing we must keep our mind on, and hey, just being transparent, I pay for two, okay? I pay for two, and am current, amen. Thank the Lord for that. But spiritual support is much, much greater. Amen. And I know men of God who are on child support, and my shout-outs to you who are current and those who are not ducking your responsibilities. But, you know, the money can only take you so far when, you know, how can it be some support without Jesus? You can't have support without Jesus involved. Paul said, if any add other to this foundation other than Jesus Christ, better be mindful how you build on to that foundation. You can't build on Benjamins and Washingtons and Lincolns and all of that. You better build on Christ Jesus. But the scripture says, for you, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But, you know, Paul says in Hebrew, without faith it's impossible to please God. So for the fathers out there, if your son is living a life parallel to how you once lived it before you was regenerated to God's truth, I'm here to tell you, stay encouraged, man of God. Stay encouraged and stay praying, amen. Continue to cover your son, because that prodigal son, he left his father's house, and he had to have his own testimony. Realize your sons and your daughters, they got to have their own testimony, because we know in that story they came to themselves. And to my sisters, amen, you want your daughters and your sons to see an example of a real man, and if that man ain't there, just continue to be that real queen, be that real lady. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So while we're waiting on our guests, amen, we're going to get into a scripture reading. Genesis chapter 17, and it reads, when Abraham was 90 years old, be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I believe our guest is here. I believe he's arrived already. But amen, I'm going to bring him on at this time. Brother Darren Deek.
Hey, God bless you, sir.
Darren Deek, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing blessed, man. I'm feeling very, very blessed. I'm just feeling great, man. Everything's good. Everything is really good.
Well, listen, it's an honor and privilege to have you on the show. I know you're a busy man of God and continue laboring for the kingdom. So how's everything up there? I understand you're in Jersey, right?
Yes, sir. Well, we're in Newark, New Jersey. And just everything's going great, man. I mean, we just did. I just received an award yesterday. I did a function in Orange, New Jersey, and the mayor came out on stage and gave me an award and for the things that we're doing in the community. And I'm just so blessed, and I feel great to be a blessing to other people.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yes. So we just gonna get into it. You know, I got you in the temple now. So we just gonna get into it. And, you know, we're going to shoot straight from the hip. But what is the word that God has given Darren Deek in this season?
Well, the word that God has given me in my heart, I feel, is to be an encourager, to uplift, and to just try to guide those that are lost to his word and into his kingdom. I mean, you know, I try to reach out to more of the youth. You know, that's why more of my music is geared toward the youth. But it's something that everyone and each and everyone can listen to and feel and relate to.
So you from Brick City, huh?
Yes, sir. All day long, Brick City all
day.
So you
took the bricks and made a church out of it, huh?
Yes, sir. I love that, yes. Yes, I love that, yes. I mean, yes. I really like that. I like that. I might use that.
Amen. Go ahead, because I'm in the South. I'm not in Brick City, amen. But I'll be up there, Lord willing. Amen. Now, I understand y'all be having church up there in United Deliverance, right?
Tabernacle. Yes, United Deliverance Tabernacle, where the chief apostle is Apostle Antoine Aubrey, and a fact that he's not too far away from me right now.
Praise God, praise God. So shout out to the apostle, amen, and we can appreciate real apostles, amen, going forth in this season, amen, building and who are visionaries, amen. So shout out, if you're ever in New Jersey, definitely go by United Deliverance Tabernacle, amen, and get your deliverance and get your healing, amen. I feel the anointing over all the way down here, amen. But anyway, what would you call the music that you do for the Lord? What exactly would you call it?
Some would call it contemporary, and some of the others would call it gospel hip-hop.
Amen, amen. Now, before you came to God, you was doing secular music. I mean, you was MC Darren D. I mean, I'm familiar with that because I came from the secular realm, and the Lord brought me over. But tell us, what did you see in the spirit realm that just really started to drive it home for you? Just really drove it home. It was like, this is crazy. I'm out of here.
Because yeah. I wasn't, when I became saved and accepted Christ in my life, the words that I was injecting into the secular music, the raps and things of that nature, I didn't want to do. You know, people like you said, how can I say this? They weren't real. Anything that I said, I wanted to be real about. So if I was saying I was doing this on the block and doing that on the block in my raps, that's what I was doing. You understand?
Right.
So when I came into the kingdom and I became saved and delivered, and from all that stuff, you know, the passion of music was still there, but I wanted to my music to reflect of my life and what I wanted to do. So that's how the change came about.
Amen, 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 amen. Okay, now we about to get into a track. It's a track that I'm make sure I'm going to add on my playlist. And I mean, this particular track, it's like what's ever going on in your life, you definitely want to give God praise. I'm talking about Clap Your Hands. Now tell me about Clap Your Hands.
Well, Clap Your Hands. Clap Your Hands is basically a rejoicing song. Just to glorify God, give him praise, you know, letting everybody know, you know what I'm saying? We came here to stomp our feet, to clap our hands, and just to uplift the Lord and praise and dance. You know, the Bible even says, you know, praise him in song and dance. So that's what, you know, basically what the song of Clap Your Hands basically pertains to.
Amen, amen. Well, amen. I'm sitting here with Darren Deke, amen. We interviewing man of God, amen, and on behalf of representative of United Deliverance Tabernacle, amen. And
amen.
So we about to get into Clap Your Hands. Ladies and gentlemen, just sit back. It's an awesome track. If you're going through something right now, especially my fathers, I don't know why I feel this in my spirit, but especially the fathers, amen. Just get up
amen.
And clap your hands, amen, and stomp your feet and
stomp
just begin
feet.
To shout, Shabbat, do whatever needs to be done. Go ahead and bring
Hallelujah.
It in, Brother Darren.
All right. You are now listening to Clap Your Hands by Darren Deke of Quality of Life Music Group. God bless.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yo, yo, Crossroad Temple, what's up?
What?
Here he is. Man, because it ain't anointed. Go,
Darren. Yeah, Darren D. Y'all know what time it is. Quality of life. We came to praise the Lord. To put your hands together. Come on, let's go.
Clap your hands.
No, I'm a soldier for the Lord like I'm supposed to be. He broke the chains and the shackles ain't a hold of me. And now I'm rolling with the Lord who wanna roll with me.
Hey,
if he woke you up, you should clap your hands. Get on the floor and show dance. Cause your victory is all in your praise. God is like the tree of life and I'm all in his shade.
Hey,
so clap your hands, stomp your feet.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet now. Let's get the devil.
I know you feel the spirit. I've been appointed to anoint you with blessings through lyrics. And I'ma give praise, encourage everyone. The righteous forsaken, nope, I never seen one. Come on, come on now, all y'all know what time it is. He gave his life for you, he gave his life for you to live. So help me celebrate, help me lift and elevate. Everybody stand on your feet and let's give him praise. So clap your hands, stomp your feet, do your dance.
Praise the Lord.
Let's glorify his holy name, let's lift him up.
Lift him up, lift him up.
I was zoned out just now. I really like that song. Amen. It's a blessing, Darren.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless.
Amen. I'm here with Darren Deeks, 646-238-3836.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody, just hold on the line. We're going to go to a song. Pray for the small disc drop. We'll be right back on the air in a few seconds. God bless.
Yeah, forgive me for the technical difficulties. I know there's some things going on now. So I'm just going to go here, amen. So tell me some of the spiritual jewels that your apostle have taught to you.
Basically, he's taught me basically to be kind to every man that I reach out to and I meet in the street. To try to just to bring the word in some type of form or fashion to them. And, you know, that's why when I go out, I say the hood, things like that, but, you know, that's what where I live at, and that's what we call it, the hood. But I'm not afraid to go up to the Bloods or a Crip, and where certain other people say, well, I'm not going to go that route. I go that route. So my apostle has taught me basically not to be afraid to spread God's word, so no matter where you go or who you speak to. Just, you know, you present it in a good, orderly fashion, and hopefully that they accept it. And if they don't, you wipe your feet and keep on moving on to the next person on the next town.
Amen, amen. So basically just taking it's like what Paul did, just taking the message to the Gentiles.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen,
yes,
amen,
sir.
Amen.
You know, I'm not afraid to go anywhere, you know, and spread God's word. You know, sometimes I have stated, but when I do now, we do go certain places, certain events, things of that nature. It's like my apostle may go, but I have to bring a big, what we might call a physical protector, or you say a bodyguard, because certain people just don't want to hear God's word. I mean, not to be truthful with that, but I'm there. I feel like God has placed me as a vessel to bring his word out. So I will go into those hoods and those places and places that people won't normally go. I'll be there. That's where you'll find me.
Amen. Amen.
That's where you'll find me. Now we just I'll give you an example. We just shot a video. It's called Christian Walk. And Christian Walk basically is a song basically stating that whatever you're doing in your days and whatever you're going through, let nobody take you off your Christian walk. You know. The walk is by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And if you listen to the song, you know, it just basically speaks on how we stand strong. We continue to walk a path of Christ. Walk on the path of straight and narrow.
Oh, praise God. See, you already operating prophetically and everything. That's actually the next song we're going to get into, amen. But praise God, amen.
Yes, so
well, we ain't going
to... just to let the, your audience know, we just completed the video, music video for it, so it's going to be debuted Monday, so they go on YouTube and view the video. We shot it at a beautiful 3-day shoot. We received very well, you know, and throughout North and stuff like that. They came out and supported very well. In the park, we had in the churches, and it was great. It was just great 3 days. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody's gonna love the song and they're gonna really love the video.
So it's on YouTube. You got it already on YouTube?
No, they debuted on YouTube Monday.
Amen. Y'all make sure y'all check that out. That's Christian Walk. That's actually the next song we're about to get into. Go ahead and introduce your song, brother.
All right, everyone, listen, on Crossroads Radio, you're about to listen to Christian Walk by Darren Deke. This is the new single off the Quality of Life Music Group label. Amen. Enjoy.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
We about to get our Christian Walk on.
Everybody Christian walk, say we're gonna do the Christian walk. And now a moment of silence.
Amen, amen. That was Christian Walk by my man Darren Deke. Amen, amen. Listen, 646-238-38. I know we got a call on the line. 646-238-38. We got Minister Weathersby on the line. Minister, are you there?
Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. You want to talk to the man of God? Go ahead, brother.
Hey, brother Darren D.
Hey, God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm just being blessed. I'm listening to both songs. I listened to you talk, and I'm just praising God because I just recall when I was listening to you on my Facebook page, then I went and checked out the profile. I saw that brother from Newark, where my spiritual birth home is, and then we got to talking and chatting. And I said, that brother got a gift and got an anointing, and I'm glad, I'm so happy that God has afforded you this opportunity, bro, so you can get the message out, because I know you said your music is specifically designed for the young, but everybody needs to know about a Christian walk.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, and I truly agree. I just want to let everybody know my apostle's here in the house, so he's going to say hi to everybody real quick before he has to run along. So would that be all right for him to say hi?
Yeah, definitely. I know he's a real
apostle.
I feel him.
God bless you, man. Listen, I'm telling you that song is a hit. I'm grateful that you're live to be played on your radio station. We're excited about what God is doing and Darren's life. And we believe, God, that this song is going to the world and that it's going to be a song of hope and a song of deliverance, a song of joy. And we're just excited. We're grateful for what God is doing in his life. Thank you so much, and we appreciate you and all your listeners as well.
Amen, Apostle. Y'all welcome here anytime. This ain't the last time y'all going to be on the show, amen. So get comfortable in the temple, amen.
All right, I appreciate it.
God bless you, Apostle.
Thank you. All right, God bless you. So where we at now, sir?
Hello, Darren Deke, yes. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, this Apostle?
Yes, I'm here. I know, I'm here. This is Darren Deke. I'm here.
Oh, okay, I'm trying to figure out. I thought Apostle was still on the line. Amen.
No, Apostle had to step off, and I mean, step away because he has another event to go to. So he just wanted to say hi to all your listeners and give them encouragement. And I love that man.
Amen, amen. He's a real man of God, amen. I can literally see him in the spirit, amen. But amen, we gonna get. It's about my brother right now and the work that y'all doing together in the hood and everything. And I just applaud you because Christian Walk. When I think about it, when I listen to that song, it's like a futuristic praise.
Yes.
It's like a futuristic type praise. So who did the production on the track, brother?
Oh, my brother, Brother K. Charles Keith. He calls himself Brother KC. And he's deeply rooted into the word. And it's kind of funny how that song came about. I'm laughing about because I'm just reminiscing how the song came about. It was me and him were just playing around on the keyboard. He played the keyboard, and he had his grandkids, and I had my two little one kids and stuff like that. And we were just playing around, and he did a chord, and my daughter, who loves praise dancing, started praising, and I came out with blurted out, everybody Christian walk. So next thing you know, the three kids that was in the room, they just started doing a Christian walk and everything, you know, and it took off from there. Everybody was doing a Christian walk in the room, and we looked at each other and we felt like, wow, you know, God's telling us something right now. And so he finished off the track, and I just went to my room and, you know, and did what came to me, and I started writing.
Amen, amen, amen. Minister Weathersby, you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. Didn't want to cut you off, man. God, I know me and Brother Darren D, we just sitting here vibing, amen. Didn't want to overlook your questions, man of God. You can go right ahead, sir. Forgive me, sir.
Oh, no, that's okay, sir. I just called to encourage my brother.
Can I say something? Is Arthur Weatherby?
Yes, sir.
Hey, God bless you, sir. You know, this is my Facebook friend. You said Mr. Weatherby. Oh, boy, God bless you. I've never met you in person. Still have, but at least now I finally get to hear your voice and talk to you, brother. God bless you, man, and I thank you so much.
Well, you're quite welcome, sir. And Lord willing, one of these days when I make my way down to back home, my spiritual home, Newark, New Jersey, we're going to have to get together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. So I want to ask you something, brother. Are you married? Is the man of God in courtship for marriage? Amen. What's going on?
The man of God is currently engaged. Have fiance.
All right.
We're looking at I have fiance. I'm currently engaged, and we're looking at a December wedding date. And she supports my ministry, and what I love about her, you know, she's just so patient with me because, I mean, I don't see her a lot. You know, we date and things of that nature, but you know, just don't see her a lot. I'm grounded in my word first, my music and music ministry, and she understands that, and I just love her support. I just love her support. You know. And she loves God, and she loves the Word, and she pushes me, and I can't explain it anymore.
Well, sisters, he's taken. Stop blowing up my phone. The brother's taken. All right, he's betrothed. Amen. In Jesus' name. So now, amen. What do you notice in gospel music that makes you shake your head like, oh, Lord, I got to pray?
What do I notice?
Or what makes you smile?
What makes me smile is when something feels real and I can totally relate to it. You know, like I said, well, my style is, I look at the artist named Kent Jones. He's from down in Atlanta area.
Oh yeah.
And when I listen to his music, you know, it's more geared once again toward the youth, but I can totally relate to it. You know, because it's like he's reaching out to the two people in the street. So that's basically what I'm trying to do. So I think I'm trying to do. I think I am doing it a little bit more harder because, like I said, I actually those. Bloods and Crips. Like when we shot the video for Christian Walk, I actually went to a couple of the heads of the sets and let them know that what we were doing. And my manager basically said, hey, what are you trying to get permission? I said, I wasn't getting permission. I wanted them to respect what I was doing in the community. And I was, and the result of that was that I got, they said, yo, Darren Deke, yo, is nobody going to do nothing that day. All the posters that you put up and the flyers, just going, everybody's not going to touch them. And it was amazing that, what you guys could understand what I'm saying, like, you know, all throughout this area where massive going on, you know, the posters weren't touched and things of that nature. And then the day of this event, where a lot of people are scared to come out and the type of gathering that we held in the park, like that, there was so many people, and there was no nonsense, no incidents at all. And people were just expecting the sheriff department, New Jersey State Police, they were all expecting something to happen, and nothing happened. And I said, that's God be glory, you know.
Amen.
And I shouldn't say thank you to those the brothers, but I do say, you know, that they respected my music ministry and myself. Enough, just at least for that one day, just, you know, to not do anything foolish. And I feel that if I continue to reach out and talk to them, maybe I could pull them out of that lifestyle that they're doing. that, you know, they'll realize that this is not what you need to do. This is not what God put you here for. This is not your purpose.
Correct.
You know, God put you here for something bigger and better than this. You can be a greater man. You can be a greater woman. You know, you don't have to be on these streets and hustling and work, I mean, worried about somebody killing you or you running up on somebody else. It doesn't have to be that. That's not what God put you here for. You know, so I just continue to reach out, and through music, and I just pray that it just touches somebody, continues the courage, and I'm able to just, you know, pull somebody from the streets and into the kingdom fold.
Amen. 646-200-3838. Just press 1. I'm on here with Darren Deke. Amen. He's a gospel vocalist, lyricist. Amen. He's a representative of United Deliverance Tabernacle out there in New Jersey. Once again, if you're in the New Jersey area, definitely stop by and see Apostle. If you need some deliverance in your areas of life, strongholds, warfare, definitely go see the man of God over there in Jesus' name. Now, we're about to get into G.O.D. We're about to get into G.O.D. Tell me about that.
G.O.D. G.O.D. is one of my favorite songs off the album. G.O.D. was supposed to be a collaboration with another brother. But that's another story. But God led me to where it's like, look, I think I needed to do the whole thing. And that's where it turned out to be. So the guy said, one of the gentlemen sent me a track to listen to. And I felt the track and I just took it from there. So when I ministered to that song to the colleges and the high schools, that's the one of the songs that the kids and the youth, they get to a lot more and like that, because it's like the second verse, I'll explain. I said, who else can make you so high? Who else can make the sun rise and the wind blow? Who else can get you so high, like on endo? But I don't need no bug. I'm so high off his love. And it got me intoxicated. So when they hear that, when they hear that word endo, they like, who else can get you so high like on endo?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody but G.O.D. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, and I'm telling them, I don't need no drugs, I don't need no alcohol. No, I just need God. And I get it. I'm getting high and I'm intoxicated about that already.
Right.
Do you understand? So when they hear that, they understand and they can relate. And I just love that song. That's one of my favorites.
Well, amen. Y'all tune in to Crossroad Temple. Amen. 646-200-3838. I know we got Angie on the call next. After this song, we're going to bring Angie on. But, man of God, go ahead and bring the G.O.D. real proper like.
Yes, you're about to listen to G.O.D. by Darren Deke on the Quality of Life Music Group. And now listen to Crossroad. Enjoy.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Exclusive, Darren Deke. You heard it here first on Crossroad Temple. Let's go.
G.O.D.
Okay, party people.
Quality of life. Darren Deke. Who else can make your life so complete?
Lights off in the temple. Ain't nothing but God in this track right here.
G.O.D. Quality of life. Darren Deke. Who else can make your life so complete?
Nobody but G.O.D.
Who else comes to take the pain away when skies are gray? Making life so free like it's the holiday.
Nobody but G.O.D.
7 days of the week I call upon his name. Who'll be my sunshine through the rain?
Nobody but G.O.D.
Knows my every thought and heart's desire.
Who'll be my friend till the end?
Nobody but G.O.D.
Hey.
I'm talking about G.O.D.
Hey.
Nobody but G.O.D.
Hey.
When I wake up, I say thank you. Nobody else can do the things that you do. And I want to give you praise, cause you help me change my ways. My family and friends, they're so amazed. They can't believe, I can't believe you saved a wretch like me. The devil had me unlocked, Lord, but now I'm free. You did it.
Who did it?
My Lord, I must admit it. And I'm giving up all of my praise.
Nobody but G.O.D.
Who else comes to take the pain away when skies are gray? Making life so free like it's a holiday.
Nobody but G.O.D.
7 days of the week I call upon his name.
my soul down through the rain.
Nobody but shielding
on my every thought and heart desire.
Who'll be my friend till the end?
Nobody but shielding.
Hey.
I'm talking about shielding. Hey. Nobody but shielding.
Hey.
Yeah.
Who wants to make the sun rise and the wind blow? Who wants to get so high like a Kendo? No God, I'm so high up in love, and it got me intoxicated.
If the Alpha and the Omega,
and I bet you find one greater. He gave his son, so his son would save us.
I don't need nobody else controlling my life. No,
nobody but G.O.D.
He won't come to the pain away when it's not so gray. Making life for free like it's a holiday.
Nobody but G.O.D.
7 days of the week I call up on his name.
Who'll be my sunshine through the rain?
Nobody but G.O.D.
On my every thought and heart desire.
Who'll be my friend till the end?
Nobody but G.O.D.
Hey.
I'm talking about G.O.D.
Hey.
Nobody but G.O.D.
Hey.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers on the line, and you know, thank God for the day.
Thank you.
And I was listening to your songs, and me, myself, as a lover of music, it's a very good job. You know, you did an awesome job with that, and even your position now. You know, well, we know there's no plateau in Christ. It's every day is something new. His mercies, everything is new. So, and until we meet Him face to face, then that's the deal. But. I just want to commend you on, you know, on your messaging and stuff like that, and trying to get the word across to the hood and everything. And I just wanted to ask one question. You being a Christian man, and I know there's in a lot of churches and stuff, there are a lot of elders. Is there any Christians that don't take to your type of music?
As far as I've encountered so far, that to answer that question, I could say no, but I have visioned the music not being received by, like, you know, that means the older generation,
right?
Basically, you know, because it's just like they look at it as hip hop, things of that nature, it's hip hop orientated, and those that may be into like the James Cleveland, the Shirley Caesars, and those styles of music, when you go to that church, you know. But so far, when I do go to those churches, I've been well received, Because I would, I mean, in my head, I'm like, I'll sit back and I'll look back. I mean, I'll give you an example. I did an event like 2 weeks ago. It was for choirs, and but when I went there, the majority of all the choirs, they were all traditional choirs, and,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, maybe this is not the type of event that I need to, but my spirit says sit your butt down, and you're going to minister to everyone here.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was called up to minister, I did Christian walk, and I just clapped your hands. And I was surprised at how many of the older generation came to me after the whole thing was over and was asking for my numbers and CDs. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so blessed that, you know, it was like God was letting me know, you know, I'm able to reach everybody from the bottom to the top.
Listen, from the pulpit to the door. And that's important though, because a lot of people they look at deliverance and they miss the message. You know, like you said, they saw, this is hip hop. You know what I'm saying? But you have to actually sit back and listen to the lyrics to really understand. Again, because I write, I rap too. So it's, you know, people look at, you know, again, the deliverance. So you're going to be all rowdy or whatever, you know. They'd be like, you're too old, or, you know, just a lot of the negative before they even get, and then they're missing the mark. You're missing good stuff because of what you perceive instead of what it actually is. So, you know, I was curious about that because, again, I know how a lot of the elders are very traditional when it comes to gospel music and stuff like that. They're more in the tradition, which I love the traditional gospel, you know, the old Southern Baptist gospel, however. I love that, too. You know, I listen to Shirley Caesar and Reverend James Cleveland and stuff like that. I listen to that, you know. And to hear a lot of the new contemporary gospel, it is a little different. It does sound like R&B, which, you know, it's just a style. It's not really, you know, again, the message is totally different, even if it sounds the same. So, you know, a lot of people they don't take the time out. They don't want to take the time out to actually hear what the message or the song is about. So,
they hear the music first.
They just hear the music, right?
I didn't hear the music first, and they condemn it from the door before a word is uttered out. And now I feel that's wrong because they're condemning something that their grandchildren or younger generations inside their family can possibly bring them to know who Christ is and their life, you know, bring them into the kingdom.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, Angie, I know we can build with you all day, amen, because you got this good convo going on, but we got less than 10 minutes on the line.
That's
I want to
okay.
finish building with our guests right now, but we definitely salute you. You want to tell the listeners about your show on GQ Palace?
Yes, I am a new host on the Diva Squad, GQ Palace Radio Love Fantasies, on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with my other co-divas, Rachel and T. So you tune in. We have great topics going on. Call in again to that 646-200-3838. Press 1 to talk to us.
God bless you, Angie.
Thank you. God bless both of you. And again, enjoy the rest of your Father's Day.
God bless you, sis.
God bless you.
Yes, you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. So, brother, before I ask you the next question, put your information out there. Let the listeners know how they can get some of this wonderful music that we've been hearing, how to reach you, your Facebook, Twitter, all of that. The floor is yours.
Well, the music can be picked up on TrackSource. We have the Christian Walk is out, the single. I think my manager said by Tuesday it'll be on iTunes. So if you wait a couple of days, you can pick the song single up on Christian Walk on iTunes. And as I said, Monday, the music video will be debuted. I'm antsy and excited about that because, like I said, the music and the video was so great. And I just can't wait for the world to see it and it be premiered on YouTube. So just like by tomorrow, let's say tomorrow evening, guys, you can type in Darren Deke and check out the song and the video, Christian Walk. You can buy it on TrackSource.com and iTunes before the week is out. And I can be contacted on Twitter, Darren Deke, at Darren Deke. And I also can be contacted on Facebook at Darren Deke. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, brother, before we, I want you to hang on the line, amen, after we get off the show, amen. But definitely I want to just salute you for taking time out your busy schedule to joining us on the Crossroad Temple.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're here every...
I'm very honored. I'm honored and it's a blessing to be here, man.
Amen. We're here every week, Sunday, man. We got Spiritual Sunday at 7, and then you got Crossroad Temple at 9. You know, GQ Palace is bringing Sunday to a whole nother level. So definitely tell somebody, amen. After church, you definitely
amen.
Tune over here to Spiritual Sunday and Crossroad Temple, amen. We're taking the internet radio to another level, amen. Everybody got to catch up. Well, you need the Holy Ghost, amen. But that works all things, amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. But definitely, we're going to have you pray us out, man of God, and then we're going to get up on out of here, but I want you to hang them on the line while we make our exit.
Amen. Father God, I ask you that you continue to bless those listeners that are here and that you just watch over their lives and that those who may have just tuned in for the first time, that they continue to seek you and to come into your life, Father, and to accept you into their life. Father God, I ask you that you just bless this station and this man of God, and that you continue to bless this music ministry. And I love you guys. I love you, Father. And I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. I pray. Amen.
Amen. Listen, that's the show for this week, Crossroad Temple. Crossroad Temple, we're here at 9 o'clock. Amen. Every Sunday, amen. Followed by Spiritual Sunday. Definitely check out Spiritual Sunday with Sister Lavina, amen. Minister Weathersby, amen. All the saints over there, Cheryl Miller, amen. So God bless you. This is Faith Walker. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Crossroad Temple. This is Faith Walker. I'ma give God praise.
And now a moment of silence.
Devils all around. Stomp them in the ground. Jesus run the town on his head into prayer. All you know is pain. You're bound in some chains. Let the Lord reign and bring peace.
Jehovah.
Is y'all saints crazy? This ain't the 80s. Ain't rapping for Jesus. Mind your business, lady.